I'm basically going to just hand right over to Selwyn Lloyd, who's co-founder of Odazzle, and he's going to talk about the role of accessible gaming technology. So I'd like to hand over to Selwyn. Thank you.
So hi everyone. I'm Selwyn, and together with my wife Marie, and the help of my daughter, my classmates from Oxford Business School, we founded Odazzle in 2014. So we believe inclusive and accessible play is vital for the healthy well-being of children, adults, elderly citizens. We found that, generally speaking, the games industry does not have the appetite yet for making video games accessible. But I'm not here really to explain why that is or to berate it. What I am here to do is to ask for everybody's help to get involved in our approach and what we think is our role in terms of developing inclusive and accessible technology. So I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. Did you ever stop someone playing a game, or did you ever get left out yourself of playing a game at playtime? Or have you ever watched someone unable to join in the fun with their friends and family and felt powerless to do anything about that? So right now, all over the world, generations of people, in particularly vulnerable and old people, are being left out or left behind by game technologies. So can accessibility change this situation? Can accessible video games make a difference to social isolation? And can play help improve our health and well-being? Well, we think so, yes, definitely. We believe that at Odazzle. And I'm going to tell you about building an inclusive, accessible game maker platform and why that's more important than geeks like me just creating another inclusive, accessible game. I'm hoping to convince you to join us in doing that in some way or form. So in the year 2000, our one-year-old daughter, Daisy, was diagnosed with eye cancer. And that felt like being hit by a train. So my wife and co-founder, Marie, was a scientist and a lecturer at the time, and I was a software entrepreneur. I guess we were both capable, but we had a lot to learn. Daisy was our first child, and she suffered many treatments, cryotherapy, chemotherapy, laser, radiation treatments. This went on for years and years and years, and ultimately those treatments didn't work, and she lost her sight and became blind. While all this was going on in the hospitals, playing games kept us together. It was a really important part of our lives. It's an important part of any young child's development, is to be able to play, to be able to go into the playground and just explore the world. My wife would tell you that playing games can help a person with their self-esteem. And I would tell you, and she would agree, that being included in games is a very, very important part of your social skills. The positive impacts of play therapy that we witnessed was so great that ultimately we started an eye cancer charity that goes into the developing world and helps children deal with traumatic situations through play. It can be an alternative to anesthetics, and it can save hospitals and health organizations a lot of money. So the good news for us really is that Daisy survived cancer, and she changed our lives in a very positive way. My wife retrained to be a teacher of blind and visually impaired kids. She looks after around 160 kids in the Portsmouth area with a whole range of visual impairments. And I eventually responded by saying, there is something that I can do. I can develop software. I can develop an inclusive and accessible video game for Daisy to play with her brothers and sisters. But while I'm talking to you today, I just wanted to make sure and be clear that we're open and happy to work with other organizations. We approached RNIB over a year ago. We're working with the local university, University of Portsmouth, who've kindly donated groups of students to contribute to what we're doing and create more templates. I'm taking for granted, actually, that the audience would understand that inclusion and accessibility are not the same thing. With Audazzle, we see accessibility as a means to facilitate inclusion. So what did we do then? In 2013, partly inspired by Christmas was coming, I wanted to do something for a surprise for my kids. So I stopped what I was doing at the time, which was location-based apps, and I started creating a video game, a space shooter. And the first idea was based on Gold Ball, which is something I played with Daisy. In Gold Ball, they put a bell inside of a ball. Everybody is blindfolded that plays, and you have to use spatial awareness based on audio where that ball is and block it. I thought we can do that in a video game, and we used Unity, which I think was mentioned, which comes with a 3D audio engine, and we were able to put sounds inside the game objects in that game, and hey presto, on Boxing Day, a day late, I was able to present this game to my kids and to Daisy, and with a little coaching, she was able to succeed and have that sense of self-esteem and play, you know, with her brothers and sisters properly and compete. And that really inspired us to take it to the next level. As I said, I was a social, or I'm a social software entrepreneur, sorry, and I've become more of a social entrepreneur with this. And I've already mentioned the fact that my teammates at Oxford helped me set this thing up. Okay. So starting Audazzle and producing the game led us to many important discoveries, technical and market discoveries. And the current direction has been adjusted. So in terms of working with end users, they've told us, this works really well, that's a terrible idea. And they forced us to keep going back and realize how hard it is to make one game work really well. So to sum up what we're doing in response to that, we felt that we were good at overcoming the technical things, but we weren't great at creating content. And where we've gone around classrooms with potential gamers, they've come up with brilliant ideas. And we felt, well, what if we could take what we're doing in the classroom and make it possible for people to generate games themselves based on our templates? So if you like, become kind of like WordPress for people to take our software and to generate their own games from it. And what if we could do that without using computers? What if we could do that with an audio interface, for example? So that's the cutting edge of what we're doing, becoming a game maker platform that provides you the tools to create games that you can share with other people. Because one of the biggest problems that we hear from groups of people that play inclusive games or accessible games is there just aren't enough games. You know, there are a huge volume of mainstream games that are popular, but there aren't enough games that are for sighted and visually impaired people to play together. So where's the evidence in terms of what we're doing? And what are other people saying? So in his 2015 article, Video Game Accessibility, A Legal Approach, George Powers argues, the movement to have accessible video games is small, unorganized, and misdirected. Not guilty. Just like the other battles to make society accessible were accomplished through legislation and law, the battle for video game accessibility must be focused towards the law and not the market. So is George right? Well, so after 2 years, we've made some impact and seen lots of happy faces, and we've heard about those happy faces yesterday and today. Our first game, which is bursting with innovations for accessibility, has hardly been noticed. And, you know, we're still having to make improvements to it. So Powers makes a good point to companies like Audazzle. And I'd say, yes, divided will fall. You know, we have to come together, other video games makers, and work on a common idea. It seems that he suggested that without a law to make accessible video games, fewer will be made. And that seems a fair point too, going back to my first point, why are the industry not doing it? Because they're not compelled to do it. They're not incentivized. Yet the loneliness and isolation thing, and the thought of friends and family and people we don't know being left out, keeps us going. Without that power of legislation, we wake up every morning wanting to solve this problem. And the sad situation is that with many video games and many online worlds, visually impaired people are left out. They can't join in because of accessibility reasons, and waiting for new law won't change that. So being left out doesn't just have mental and physical consequences to the individual. The people around the individuals, families, friends, carers, teachers, and would-be friends are all negatively impacted when they are in the awful situation, a powerless situation, not knowing how to include you. And once you've acknowledged this inclusive role of accessible games technology, it's impossible to ignore. So my father lost useful vision and mobility in his 70s. He was very lucky to meet someone before he died. If he had not, I imagine he'd have died years earlier, on his own, unable to access the things so many of us take for granted. You'll be pleased to know, my dad also got to try out our games. He had surgery to improve his vision and was a huge fan of Audazzle. Of course, I had to cheat a little and switch the space fighter for a Spitfire. bless you, Dad, but it took me all my life to get him to play Space Invaders. So, in short, Audazzle believed the lack of access to inclusive play, and particularly video games and inclusive online worlds, is growing in importance and will continue to grow unless we take a new approach. What we hope is that our repurposed role as inclusive, accessible game maker will become a community response. So let me tell you more about that. Today, I'd like to stay focused with you on a solution for the role of making these games. And during our role to make a single game, we soon realized we needed lots of help and lots of games like ours in order to make any impact. We're certainly not the only ones who want to make accessible video games. However, we found passion to do something from all kinds of people, not just technical people and non-technical people. So again, anecdotally, people have approached me who are blind themselves and found that tools like Unity, unfortunately, are not accessible. And when we've moaned to Unity about it, we don't have an answer. so that's why we feel if we can make our maker inclusive and accessible, everybody can make inclusive and accessible games from it. So we started two parts to our project. One is to work with more industry specialists to develop exemplary and groundbreaking accessibility technology and to create that technology into those templates. Two is to build the tools as a platform, an online platform, where people can access those templates through storytelling and make their own games. A second aspect of our role at Audazzle and the wider role of inclusive, accessible gaming is to create social opportunities. And I often say to my wife, you know, if it turns out that the correct solution is a blank packet of cards and just to get people around a table, then so be it, that's what we'll do. Because, you know, the heartbreaking thing as a parent is watching people being left out and not developing those social skills. So you might think what we're trying to do today is start and make a movement, and you're probably right. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the kind of things that are going on Kickstarter with maker movements, but again, I'm going to quote somebody here from why the maker movement is important. This is an American guy, Tim Bergeron. I'm very excited about the maker movement. The more I look into it, the more I believe that it is very important to America's future. It has the potential to turn more and more people into makers instead of just consumers. And I know from history that when you give makers the right tools and inspiration, they have the potential to change the world. And I can't help but like that. And perhaps you're still skeptical, so let's consider research of David Whitbread of the University of Cambridge in his report, The Importance of Play. He says, given the abundant nature of the research evidence that play in humans is adaptive, and is fundamental in supporting a whole range of intellectual, emotional and social abilities. It seems self-evident that children who, for whatever reason, play very little or not at all, will be disadvantaged in their development. And we don't need to limit that research to children. We are all forever children. And what of grown-ups or retired citizens are we not allowed to play too? So, to sum up the talk, Ordazil have found there are no accessible tools to make inclusive, accessible games. A wider variety of games is needed. Being left out can lead to health issues and social isolation. It doesn't follow that playing video games will cure loneliness in an adult. So parents, listen to your instincts. The world needs more inclusive, accessible games, and we really do need your help to make this happen. Are we done? Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Selwyn. And you know, I myself play a bit of online gaming here and there, and I do believe that when games are accessible, it breaks down the barriers of sight loss, so everybody can enjoy the same level playing field.